Well, hey everybody, welcome to episode 223 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to you by our good friends at Coldwell Banker Mid-America. Coldwell Banker is rooted in the legacy of our founder, renowned businessman and philanthropist, Marvin Pomeranz. We continue to tell his story through our love of people, homes, and the communities we serve. Our integrity guides our focus to empower people to make the best real estate decisions possible. We pair local ownership and knowledge with the power of an international brand and the most advanced technology to elevate the customer experience and expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. Well, it's good to be back. This is our first podcast since the last week in April. We had some technical issues in early May and we had to take some time to get to the bottom of it. And we do have a new soundboard now that I'm still getting acquainted with. But I think we're all good to go, and I apologize for the six-week hiatus that we've had, but the month of May was so busy, I'm not sure we would have had time to do a podcast every week anyway. All right, well, we're into the summer sports now, and we're going to talk some Ankeny softball tonight. In a little while, I'll be talking to a couple of the Hawkette players, but right now my first guest is the head coach of the squad. He has guided the Hawkettes to a 16-4 record and a number 4 ranking in Class 5A, and I'm guessing they'll move up in this week's rankings after sweeping a doubleheader at number 2 Valley on Monday. He is Dave Bingham. Coach, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
Wow, I didn't know anything about those rankings. That's good information.
Valley 2.
Yeah. we have an audience here, too, so I'm just let people know here.
Well, we'll talk about the two of them here in a bit.
Yeah.
Your team is really on a roll right now. After dropping a doubleheader to a number 1 Ankeny Centennial last Wednesday, your squad has since reeled off 7 consecutive victories. You know, do you feel like your team is playing its best ball of the season right now?
No, not at all. We're having fun. And I think as you and I have talked over the years and together in the program, you know, we don't have anything in the culture. And so these kids that are with me and the 10 seniors, and even the kids that we grew up with that are great people, Sarah Rose and, you know, Kara Jewell, and, you know, maybe the silent majority of these kids, we just have that to be perfect. So it really is strong. I mean, we struggle with making sure we're doing right and all these different things, but I don't think we're close to playing the best. We've had some games where, like, wow, the first inning of the first game was like, holy, look out. This is what I thought we were going to be. You know, we scored 7 runs in the first inning. We executed everything. We were throwing BBs at that, pitching and catching, which has been great, our pitching and catching. But offensively, we're about 3 and 4. And I think that we have the ability to be one of the best hitting teams we've had in a while. And I think that'll come along. And we haven't seen a dawn at pitching, so to speak. We just haven't, you know, had our best moments. And then we might have to win games. It'll be damn like we did, you know, just the other night against Indiana. It wasn't pretty, and I think we felt comfortable in where we were at. And we've let 2 of those games that we've had in that scenario get by, and those cost us 2 wins. And I think if we could have been as poised as we are now, we probably would be in a situation we haven't been too bad.
Well, yeah, you've always talked a lot in the past about honoring legacy of the program and building a team culture and playing the game the right way. And I know how much you adored Coach Rasmussen, who we lost about a year ago. So if he was still alive, I mean, what would he like about this team?
Well, he would probably say that we are really, really good at behind, you know, with our pitchers and our catchers. And I think he would be proud that they, you know, we don't given signals, we don't manage them. We've talked about the game, and I think in this day and age, I think coaches are scared to death to do that. I have no worries, no concerns. We're going to live with it. Those kids behind the plate are very intelligent, and, you know, Kendra and Abby, all of their pitchers, obviously, even these 2 free pitchers back in the day. I mean, they know the game, and we're going to have to live with that, and I think coaches fear that. I think you'd be really proud of that. We haven't had to execute a lot of short game situations. We've got to get better at that. When we have done lately, when we've been on this win streak, we've done a good job of 2 outs hitting. And so I think he would be proud of that. But most of all, I think he would be proud of the way we have fun at Pizza Ranch. Last night when we got home from the game, you know, they had the music going. They had like a disco party in our behind our field, where we were in the area between baseball and softball. They were having so much fun. And as a coach, sometimes I think we're like, we got to get on the next thing. This is over. Let's start getting serious. And for me and our staff, we just sit back and let them. And I think that's the key to coaching and a key to young people. What a privilege it is to watch them just, what's the banter? Yeah, so doing the Cotton Eye Joe thing, they do it. I mean, as soon as we won the other night and we came on the loudspeaker and can we go dancing again? But I mean, it's not something that's orchestrated. It's not something that's forced. They are just having fun. And if I got a chance to talk, and I'll talk to Sue here pretty soon. Kim and I will see their new place. I've been by a couple times, but I think that's the thing I tell them. They're just having a blast. So that's impressive, because that's not always the case.
Right. Well, I mentioned your team sweep at Valley on Monday, and you guys won those games without your best hitter. As a catcher, Cassie Johnson started the first game, but she left shortly thereafter due to an illness. And I know she didn't play last night at Indianola either. So how is she doing? Is she going to be back tomorrow against Waukee?
We're just watching her. She's not herself, and that's our case with every kid. We have to watch them all individually, and health is probably the number one thing. As a coach, you got to look at that. So, you know, always check in, you know, even, hey, how you feeling, how you doing? And so she'll be recovered, but we're not going to rush her back. You know, whatever symptoms she has, well, she's just going to be great. And, you know, as competitors, that's just brutal. You know, you want to be in there, right?
Oh, yeah.
But I think you can see that's our greatest strength, right? It's our numbers. And we knew that coming in, and what a cool thing it is for these kids to bring, you know, Cassie's been part of our culture for a long time. She plays basketball, she gets it, whether they have been in the softball program or not. But I am so proud of my seniors for them engaging these kids, and Cassie's all in. She'll be all right. She did good this morning, she looked good this morning. She was out. We didn't have her a full go, so I know she wants to play as soon as possible. But as a coach and as a parents and help people look at it and make that decision. And, you know, really, I'll be honest, I don't know if I'll have a catch for a while. Need her to. I wouldn't want her to, you know, get dehydrated or not feel well behind the plate and sort of stick in the outfield or DP or just keep letting her get reps. So you want to catch. Amber can catch too. She caught the other day. We had our doubleheader against Centennial the next day. We were practice. She kind of ran. People, you know, think it's crazy, several cents, but, you know, she caught and pitched in that round at the very end. And it was really good. You know, still has to change. He's about 52. But that's the key to these kids and them looking out for each other. So it was a lot of fun. We were curious for a while, and then they did their thing.
Well, yeah, I thought your team showed a lot of resiliency and come back and sweep that doubleheader at Valley. Reagan Enright came in to catch the rest of the night. And it was really a team effort because you had so many kids that stepped up throughout those two games.
It's weird, Dan, I didn't think about it, you know, Cassie was hurt. And I think, you know, younger coaches or no scenario when you've had it, we are so strong in our depth of our love and our gratitude. It didn't really even, I don't think anybody even thought of it. Neither did Cassie. That's the great thing. Once we took a look at her health and figured it out, she was like, yeah, we're good. And so that is rare. Like, that is really rare because Cassie is a great player, but she also knows if she needs to take a break or she's not going to be there, that we're going to be fine. And I think the way we lead off, we lead her off, Dan. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I learned a long time she is a great player. She's a great hitter. She's a dynamic player. And you just have to get a kid like that the most at-bats. So I'll never change that. I did that with Kendall. And I'll do it for her. I did it with Kennedy Thomas, and she got hot back in the day and played. But we know right now, if she doesn't get a hit, she strikes out, it doesn't really affect us. That really shows where we're at as a team, and I'm proud of that.
Well, then last night your team followed up with a 3-2 win at Indianola, the number one team in Class 4A. Your junior pitcher, Abby Rusher, was the star of the night. She tossed a three-hitter with 13 strikeouts. She also came through with the big hit at the plate.
Yeah.
And she blasted a game-winning three-run homer in the sixth inning. Now, she did did she drive the bus home afterwards?
Cause
she
did. Yeah. She's a funny kid, and these gals get to know her a lot more than I do, but she is a deeply competitive. She's pretty rare in that she just stays in the zone. But, you know, a few years ago when she came to the program, I'm like, hey, you're going to hit, and she kind of looked at me like, what? I mean, you're going to swing the bat. And so then it was like occurred to her after freshman, like, I'm a hitter too. I'm like, yeah, duh. And so she's made some adjustments, and I think the competitor she is, she's had games where she came out, starts hitting against Dallas pretty good, and then she didn't play well at hitting. You know, so you set them, you evaluate, let them get, and now she's really dialed in. It's tough to have a pitcher and hit. It really is. And the kids that we have with Kendra and her and Lenzmeyer, I mean, all three of them are pitchers. They can all hit. She's done a nice job. I can't believe she really hasn't had a home run yet. And so that just, it wasn't a surprise that she had a home run. But I knew we were going to win. I thought we were going to win. I felt like we were going to win. I didn't know when we were going to win. And it came a little earlier. I thought we'd score. But it was really cool because, you know, Miller and Louie got on and she hit it. It was like, yeah, that's gone. We've been rattling the fences a little bit. But Andy Nola, make no mistake about it, defensively, maybe the best team we've seen. Mm-hmm. Pitcher was good. And they were very aggressive at the plate on the top quarter. So if they get to you, they're a dangerous squad. I was more impressed with them than a lot of teams that we've seen. They were good ball clubs. So that was a good win for us. If we were, like we're talking about earlier, if we were offensively where we thought we'd be, I thought we might score more. But kudos to the kids. And yeah, Abby got the, you know, gets the accolades for that game. So it was her turn to get the headline.
Well, she's 12-2 on the season now with a 1.74 ERA, and she's racked up 78 strikeouts and 68 in the third innings. Opponents are batting just 190 against her, so it's easy to see why she'll be taking her talents to Creighton in the fall of 2024. Now, she's started 14 under her 20 games, and she's appeared in three others. And I know you have confidence in your other pitchers, but she really has become kind of the workhorse for your staff, hasn't she?
It's interesting because the dynamic can always change, and I really have not even thought about who's pitched the most. When we start a game, it's when you looked at Andy Nola, their team that put the ball in play, but they're a short game team too. That was the one thing I thought, you know, we need balls in the air and we need to take care of short game. And she is really good defensively in her position. She does a nice job. So there are some things, but there's been games where she's only won an inning or two and Kendrick's had to come in. So there'll be some dynamic changes in there now and again. But, you know, we were, you know, Rask was coaching and even my early days, and then sometimes we had Deuce, you know, you're looking at a pitcher. You get 230, you know, 240 innings or something like, you know, something crazy. And so really, in this day and age, she hasn't really thrown that much. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if she starts every game. That wouldn't surprise me at all. But I wouldn't expect her to pitch all those innings. And yeah, I think it could equal out. And I don't think Lenzmeyer's hit her ceiling, and Kendra's pitching really well. So I think I've told you this. We can do something that's never been done before, and that we could move kids in and out and, you know, kind of go lefty righty and do some baseball things and really not miss a beat. So that's what we're working on. We did that against the public, so it's kind of fun. Kendra did a good job coming in and getting lefties, and that's good for us. So we're still working on that a little bit through this run right now. Abby's just doing really well, and it's getting us off to a good start.
Well, yeah, Kendra has a 4-0 mark with a 1.77 ERA, and she's headed to Texas A&M Corpus Christi in the fall. Yeah. And, I mean, obviously, she's got some good numbers, too.
Yeah, and there's nights where velocity-wise, I think you do, Tina, too, when we watch all three of them pitch, it's kind of hard to judge who's throwing the hardest. And so Abby has that freak spin. Kendra's down in the zone, so our fly ball to ground ball ratio with Abby's almost like 3-1. You're half the one air ball in the air, and it's hard to bomb. It just really is. Kendra is just the opposite. She's getting us a lot of ground balls, play a lot of defense. So, but she's really come along with her changeup, and she's really been able to spot her pitches left and right across the plate, and she's gotten really good at pitching. Yeah, I think there's nights too where you have to evaluate every day and just be like, whoa, we've got something here and we're going to stick with it. And that could be Kendra, that could be Lynn. And Praise Buchan picked us up huge one night at Southeast Pope. And she's a really good option. She's got, out of all her pitchers, she probably, we used to have the red balls and you can measure spin. She actually spins the ball more than anybody. She throws a heavy ball, just throws hard. So she keeps the ball down and she's sitting in her spot. She's special. And just like some of the athletes here with me, we don't get a lot of kids that play all the time. They're very talented. It's always tough to pick and choose.
Well, at the plate, you've had a lot of kids that step up this year as well, including Abby, who's batting 431 with 19 RBIs. Cassie leads the team with a 538 average, 8 home runs and 27 RBIs. And you touched on her a little bit earlier, but she's already matched her home run total of 8 from her 8th grade season in 2020. You know, and she obviously has a bright future ahead of her at Texas Tech. It's probably hard to put into words, though, you know, what her addition to the roster has meant to the team this year, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that just overall, the dynamic of adding a quality player to others makes it great. She, I would, you know, as her and I have talked, I don't think she feels real you know, excited. She wants to be better. You know, I think all of our players here want to get better. But she does. She has a high standard. You know, she's got a strong arm. So our girls are playing defense, you know, with runners on and stuff. That gives us a good dynamic, and they have to be aware. But we're a good team with her. We're maybe we got that special ability to have those Kronos moments like we had and against Polk, you know, where it came around. And she's right now, you can put all those numbers into perspective, but one of the things I look at is on base percentage and batting average with runners in scoring position. I think her batting average with runners in scoring position is like off the charts. Mm-hmm. Last time I looked, it was almost 680. So those are the things that we're looking for. Like Rue, you know, Larissa Miller, she's a slapper, but with on base percentage and with runners in scoring position, she's in the 560s. And Kendra Lewis is in that same category. That's a critical category because, you know, some of those kids, when they're hot and there's runners on, it's like they just, I don't know, it's an elite mindset and they have that. So that's one of the things I think that she brings to the table that's really good. And I think we have a lot of kids with that.
Well, we have the two young ladies sitting here with us today. We'll be talking about them here in a few minutes. I know these two players probably don't lead your team in any statistical categories, but obviously, you know, they brought a lot to the team. Otherwise, you wouldn't have brought them here today. So can you talk about their contributions to the program?
Well, one of the things that, you know, in our program, really, you know, Coach Rass or Amy Farmer, some of the people that were here before me, when in our youth programs, you know, you see these knuckleheads when they're little and their family are special and they make those connections. And so Emma McLean is probably our true unspoken leader, I mean, in so many ways of the culture of the program. And Katie's kind of her, you know, okay, imports her with it. And then the seniors themselves are a pretty tight-knit group. But if you really want some honesty of where we're going to go and how things are going to happen, she's going to do it first class. But also, she does it. Dan, the baseball softball cannot be serious. It cannot be something that you're gripping. You have to have some sarcasm and some arminess. It's just not worth it. And I think once our players figure out that we're having fun, that we can make fun of ourselves, it makes it a lot easier because otherwise you're going to tear yourself up, right? So I'm just giving you a plain story. I mean, there are many. You'll hear some coming, but you know, Abby's kind of new to our program. Last year was really her first year going. And these days, she's throwing a rise ball. It's kind of unhittable. It's really, it's kind of freaky to watch. You're trying to figure out why. So we're playing Ames, and she comes in. She doesn't mow him down. I mean, it's like we're only throwing the right ball. I mean, it's almost she can. And at that time, and one of the girls just struck out. I'm just like, wow. You know, she just looked flabbergasted, and all of a sudden, quiet in the day, my claim goes, "That's all right, girl. She's striking me. I'm going to practice every time." You know, there was really clear, and the umpire smiled, and those kind of things. So we're having fun, but we can't continue to enjoy the program and enjoy high school sports and be an Iowa girl without these ladies. And Katie just at a high level understands the game probably more. And, you know, she wasn't a full-time starter, you know, her whole career, but she's always been a contributor on the field. And she can play any role. I think she's almost played every position on the field for us. And I trust her. And then lately, she's been really good. She hit a bomb the other day. I mean, it was impressive, and so that was really special. But I think now that she's in the lineup, now she's starting to put some pressure on herself. So she's got to get back to her. Okay, yeah, all right, get back to the culture and just do a job. And she knows that, and her and I have had that discussion. But there's 10 of them. I mean, and there's, you know, there's so many kids from Mara Hampton, you know, not just the seniors, but, you know, the Praise Buchanan's, the silent majority of kids make coaching and making our program special. And if you don't have that, you don't have anything. I mean, we don't have anything. We don't have Cassie and Johnson, you know, hitting the headlines, and we'll be rooting for them girls when they go on to play at the next level. And these girls, they could go places where I've told them that 100 times, but they're just like, they're good. I'm really happy for them. They're making that. I ain't vocal in Iowa. I mean, Iowa City's in a big time trouble. So, I mean, I'm going to be sitting here talking just to make sure they don't say something they shouldn't. But
yeah,
you know, there's a special, and I honestly, yeah. I've got on these two, and most of it is with a smile. What do you need, coach? Let's go. Yeah, bang on, whatever. Katie always says are you lit? I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
I just tell her I am. So that's how.
Well, yeah, we'll talk to them here in a few minutes. But I mentioned earlier that you guys were swept by Centennial last week, but your team did beat the Jaguars last month at the Johnston Classic, and that was Centennial's only loss until they dropped the non-conference game to Carlisle last night. Your team's other losses came to ADM and Johnston. Now, the Jaguars are obviously ranked number one for a reason. Do you think they're the most complete team that you guys have faced this year?
Really evaluate that. They're pretty solid. You know, the top of the order, they do a nice job with those kids. And I think, the third base catcher Kamala that they've had there with Morris and Starr, they're just good ball players. They're heads up players. If we can put pressure on and stay in games with them, they stay right there. That's probably their greatest attribute. I think of really everybody we played. You know, Pope's right there. I mean, Pope's a good club. They're a good club that can put up some runs on that. Their pitcher just doesn't, overwhelm you, but he just doesn't give in. Mm-hmm. I would say Pope and Cincinnati are pretty similar. They're in that class. We haven't seen anybody that's like, oh my gosh, look out, they're going to mow you down. But we face quality teams in ADM and set some of those in those Indianolas. But I'd say in the 5A class right now, from my observation, Hempstead, the first team that we played in that Johnston tournament, sneaky good. Like, sneaky good. Pitching was good, too. We just hit the ball, but they can swing it. Offensively, they were kind of there with Polk and Centennial. So Hempstead's a sneaky team to watch out for. I'm afraid if they figured out how good they were, they'd be dangerous. They were really good. So I'd say those three, Polk, Centennial, are right there. Johnston's always good, and we had a weird thing to rain out with them, but I'd like to play some of them again one more time if we could, but we can't because of the new scheduling thing. But we have some open dates. We play Centennial if they want to. We'd love to do that.
Well, your team will host a doubleheader against Waukee on Thursday, and then you'll head to the Fort Dodge Invitational on Friday and Saturday. Now, do you know yet who you'll open up against at the
draft? Yeah, I think we got Helan, and then we got the Mark Ames and somebody. We're expecting Ames. Ames has a good player Lynch, and they've got a good overall club. We've played them a lot, and I look forward to playing them if we get the opportunity if we beat Helan. But I'm not sure who they have. You know, Winterset will be there again. I'll have a chance to play them. You know, Fort Dodge will be on that side of the bracket. There's a lot of good teams up there, so that'll be a fun turn. Waukee poses some problems. You know, last year I think people didn't see them coming, and they snuck into the state tournament, and they've got some good slaps, and they're pretty good defensively. So we're hands full Thursday night. If we could really barrel some stuff up, you know, we'd probably make it a lot easier. Because I know our pitchers and catchers and our defense is going to be there. So it's going to be a good night.
Well, I know that Fort Dodge tournament is one that you guys always look forward to for many reasons. One of them being that it's good preparation for the state tournament next month in Fort Dodge. And you've got to believe that, you know, this is a team that's fully capable of getting there, don't you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that every year. So, you know, one or two things can really determine that. And I don't think there's any question this team expects to do it, and I think they will do it. And we're going to have just a blast when we go up there. I did tell them, Dan, they got to do a better job of cleaning up their rooms before we left Creston, or we'll drive back and we'll stay up there. You know, Coach Bass and the old Hawkettes, they go up there and they stay up the whole time, and that's the way we've done it. So, and they know, I know they take care of business. They just did take out a trash bag, so you know, you got to hold them accountable for some stuff. But we love playing up there. We like being together. They do so many, they got so many traditions that I really don't know. Sure, that Sal and KT, you know, keep an eye on them so they don't get in too much trouble. But, you know, whether just in this day and age where, you know, people in this community travel, do stuff, push spring break, you know, all that, these kids can have fun in Creston. They can have fun. And they know it and they figured it out, and it's kind of good school. And I love that about our team. Like, nobody wants to be like, that's not who we are, and I love that. And that's what makes it a privilege to coach them. So, I mean, they're kind of giddy about going and doing that stuff. So, yeah, I think we'll make a run. And I think, you know, we told them at the beginning of the year we're doing a documentary on this team because I think something special has happened. So we're kind of started. We'll see how it goes. But we expect to be at state, and we expect to give ourselves a chance to win it. And I think that's the way they feel. Whether that happens or not is not important because we're going to
Well, you guys are certainly in position right now to be a number one seed for the regional tournament. Did you hear when those brackets are going to come out?
I don't know. Sometimes, I honestly, like the rankings and the brackets, I don't give them a really unique. Sometimes they come out like a week before the Bromley tournament, like right after we play a board match. And then sometimes they would come out like just after that. Seriously, that stuff doesn't matter to me. But once we get it, then we scout those teams that we're playing pretty heavily. But at the same time, what I've found is there's a balance that kids can't have too much information to overthink it. But I think this team will engage in the scouting portion of it. It'd be exciting to see what we get. And I don't, you know, everybody's like, why did this to do that? We really didn't patrol that last year. You know, we got really good teams. We played Kennedy and Pope. They're both equal. They were both really good teams. And we played really well against Kennedy, and we didn't play super well offensively, defensively against Pope. But if we would have played Pope, we'd have saved. And those teams were pretty, I mean, it's strange. But I didn't think about it. I'm excited that we got that opportunity. So, yeah, I mean, they could put any of the CIML teams in our bracket. I'm sure some point we have a bracket and take care of it. We get a good one, we get somebody on it.
Was my last question for you, and maybe this is some new information for you since you don't look at the rankings that closely, but when you look at the current rankings, the top four teams and six of the top nine are from the CIML conference. So do you think it's possible, if not likely, that you know we could have as many as like six teams from your conference at state?
I would expect six teams if they're in six different brackets. When you go down our line, there's nine of us, right? Mm-hmm. I think there's a possibility. You can see that with Waukee last year. I don't think a lot of people saw them coming. So you can see a team like Waukee or Dowling or somebody like that that maybe is not having the best run right now. They get in the bracket, they get sent out, you know, somewhere, and they play really well. But you know, and I think that there'll be a time at some point where you know they'll put us in all eight regions and see how that, and that'll be fun. That this would be a good year to do. Top to bottom, maybe we're not as dominant as I've seen in the past, but we have less team, obviously. But you put these nine and eight of the regions, yeah, there's a chance that it could be an LCIM.
Sure.
Make no mistake, Linmar, you know, Hempstead, some of these teams outside of the region are going to be tough. But other than that little gap Kennedy had in Pleasant Valley, I mean, I don't think since maybe. Well, I won a CIML from the state championship. 904 died in it, technically. They weren't really won it, so
right.
That adds to it.
Well, it should be a great state tournament because you mentioned Fort Dodge. I mean, we're not going to have the Fort Dodge there with the Jalen Adams.
Yeah.
It just seems like there's a lot more parity this year.
Yeah, I'm going to get them this weekend. That'd be fun. We're going to play her next week on Tuesday. We'll see what they got. And the girls love to play Fort Dodge, and we'll play them up there. And it'll be rowdy. It'll be a good time. It was a good. Last year, I really thought that you know, we were a team that we were going to be, because we went up there and beat Adams 1-0, rusher pitching, and Kennedy Palmer, a little walk-off bleeder for us to win in nine innings. And that was the game I'm like, yeah. They were the best overall team in the state if you played in a double elimination or longer tournament. Northwest just played lights out and got up for that one game. But that was huge for Waukee and Northwest to pull that game off because that was a really tough squad. So for us to go up there and win that game on their senior night, I mean, we were right there. So it's going to be fun to go up there this weekend. I mean, they're waiting for us. If we get to the title game, then we have it set for us to play them Saturday night. So there'll be some Fort Dodge fan yelling. So they
all right, thanks a lot for coming in. I appreciate it. All right, my next guest is a senior utility player for the Hawkettes. She's currently batting .207 with one home run and three RBI. She is Katie Gershman. Katie, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
Yeah.
Well, coming off a 27-13 season a year ago and with the amount of returning talent that you guys had, is this the kind of season that you expected, you know, to have? Did you think your team could be one of the best in class by then?
Oh, yeah. Everyone being here, it's been kind of cool to grow up with all these girls and just see how everyone develops and everything. Last year we did end all the heartbreaker and we were kind of devastated. We definitely wanted to run the state tournament and that team definitely could have. Last year what was kind of cool is that we had so much depth, like anyone in the bench could have caught up and made a difference on the field, and we're kind of that way this year too. We have a majority of seniors and it's just kind of cool to see like our culture that we've been developing all 4 years that we've been, 4 or 5 years that we've been working. It's kind of cool to see that develop on the field. So yeah, definitely this is kind of what we expected. course, I'm going to be defeated. That's not going to happen. Yes.
Well, you guys got off to a 5-0 start that included the 6-0 win over Centennial at the Johnston tournament. After losing to the Jaguars 4 times last year, you know, did that win kind of show your team what you were capable of?
Definitely. How about the mental game, we kind of saw that when we dropped 2 against them, we made a bunch of errors in the first game, and that kind of carried over the second game. They had the momentum, and I think that if we would have finished out that first game, that we could have had a different outcome in the second game. But I saw the way they were good, that they can hit, they got an 8th grader pitching, which is good all around, pretty solid.
Well, it's kind of stick with the hot season. Rest in the tournament on Friday. Solo home run, nothing big for Robert Landon. The coach told me that was the first homer of your entire life. You know, that was a pretty cool moment, huh?
In that, I was as he knows they're going to throw it in. And he gave it clear. Different baseman's play back, so I was like, okay, I was the first guy with that inning. I was just looking to get on, and then he gave me a cue that they were throwing me in. I was like, oh, maybe I was going to win. And off the bat, it felt pretty good. And then I started cheering.
You actually see it go over the fence?
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Do you guys do anything special to celebrate home runs, or do you just run around the bases and then go back to the dugout?
Everyone's cheering, everyone's going crazy. And then after we set up home plate, we have a new thing. Liz Mouse thing. It's like a home run thing. And last week, we started with a home run thing going in too. But this year, it's cool to be a contributor. And,
we obviously know how difficult it is to hit a home run. I think your team has 13, and you mentioned Cassie. She's got 8 of them, I think, in 52 at bats. You know, so what does that say about her? She's got some pretty amazing power, doesn't she?
Yeah. We have a freshman to the favorite, even though then she's cool to play with. Now he's definitely a leader. She's kind of let's go. Let's get fired up, swing back, let's get some hits. And of course, having her on the plate, having her behind the plate, it's just like having those 2 leaders that both talking. I'm excited to see what she does throughout the rest of this season at Tech. Next season, she's just a fun player.
You played both the infield and the outfield this year. Do you have a favorite position, or are you pretty much just willing to play wherever coach needs you?
Last year I got some third, and then this year I started playing outfield.
Well, he told me there might be a game coming up where you'll play all nine positions. So you got a pitch and catch too. So
perfect.
Well, of course, Anki's going to try to qualify for state for the first time since 2015, and this will be your last chance as a senior. What would that mean to you to finish your high school career at the state tournament?
Obviously, our culture that we've been building our next 5 years is something special for us. We have our Leave Your Legacy compared to what we just kind of hold those to a high standard. And so making it to the state tournament with all these seniors and our culture, obviously the Leave Our Legacy that we have, so, and that's something we really want to do.
Well, do you like this team not only has the potential to seek to get there, but to do some serious damage once you get there?
Oh, sure. After we do those pieces, the next day at practice, we set a standard for ourselves, and obviously that's been working so far, so I don't know, so now, so I definitely think of the state tournament and the preparation and playing every single day of the week. And some scouting in there, and then when we reach our peak potential, I definitely think we can make a good one there.
Coach mentioned maybe that you're going to Iowa next year. Is that the plan?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And should be exciting.
All right, Katie, well, I'll let you go. You might need to rest your voice a little bit, but that takes a lot of film in there. All right, well, my final guest tonight is a senior first baseman for the Hawkettes. She is Emma McLean. Emma, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Well, this team is obviously having a great season. What do you think has been the key to the success?
There's no time to be selfish. Like, if you make a mistake, there's things coming. Like, you mean keep everyone, I think, especially against Centennial, like, you could see it on everyone. We got down, and it carried into the second game, like Katie had touched on earlier. And I think, like, as a team, everyone has a role, and they play it really, really well. And I think that's something that's just helped our team a lot, is just, like, supporting each other. And, like, it doesn't matter who gets the credit. Bingham always says that a lot. Like, we're one team, and, like, when you don't care who gets the credit, some big things can happen.
Well, Coach Doctor, your contributions to the game, and just for your varsity games this year, so certainly most of your contributions have come off the field. How do you see your role in the squad?
I think a lot of people, like, I'm probably the most balanced.
Yeah. I kind of picked up on you.
You're a good player.
I think the other freshmen have done an amazing job, like, just picking up on things that I think the seniors do. Like, it was kind of a joke last year, like, oh, you guys, they were, like, it's kind of like the last one, my favorite time. But it really does mean something, like, whenever he's doing a role, you can just be out on the field and, like, all the other freshmen, I never see any of them, like, being mad that they're not playing or, like, making, like, comments of just, like, shouldn't be on a healthy ball club and, like, have them compliance. She's always on my side. Caitlin Fox, she's really stepped up this year, too. And I just think it makes, like, the team better and everybody just, like, it just makes it more fun.
Well, yeah, it looks like you guys have a lot of fun both on and off the field. Your team had a couple of exciting wins over Southeast Polk on June 2nd, and both of those games ended with walk-off hits by Cassie Johnson. I wasn't there that night, but one of my photographers got some good photos of the celebration at the end. And in one of them, I think it's Avery Nelson's running onto the field with something that looks like a pink ballet costume or something. Is that like a rally outfit or something, or what is it?
This is made for both of them, and that's something I guess whipped out a lot. Some moms don't like this. I think it just, like, made those big moments even bigger, like, and everybody just loves it. We come back in, we get all the stuff on, we mess around. But, yeah.
Do you guys have any other, like, superstitious things that you do on the dugout?
The rally, we do. I think once we get the momentum going, you can just kind of feel it. And everybody in the dugout, we get loud. We get very, very loud. And then once we get one hit, if we get one hit, we're going to keep going. Like, especially when we need it in the beginning. Like, Cassie, we had two people on right when we hit that walk-off. Like, that just kind of shows, like, everybody's in it and we just keep going.
We kind of touched on this earlier, so I think maybe I know the answer to this, but it seems like every team has at least one jokester who can keep everybody loose, you know, so that nobody takes anything too seriously. I know I played sports a long time ago. It was kind of way back then. So who would you say is the biggest goofball on the team? Is it you?
I think we're probably.
Well, getting back to the action on the field, it's probably pretty hard to top those back-to-back walk-off wins against Southeast Polk, which was ranked third at the time. Do you think that's been the biggest highlight of the season for your squad?
Definitely. But we didn't even play our best ball. I think we could have beat them by a lot more than we did. They're good ball team, but we're just better. And like Bingham said, like, we haven't reached our peak potential at all whatsoever. Like, even when we just beat Valley, we weren't playing our best. We had like 5 errors in the second game. Like, we could have beat them by a lot more. And they were ranked number 2, so I think. And against Centennial, we didn't play very good. They came out stronger than us on our momentum team, and I think when we get our momentum going, we're capable, more than capable of beating every single team.
We have beat Billings twice to Centennial the following week before rebounding with your current seven-game winning streak, and you guys likely won't play the Jaguars again unless you'd happen to meet them at the state tournament, which certainly could happen. You know, would you like another shot at them?
I think it would be. If we play them in the state championship, like, they end up being too. That would be a phenomenal game. They're a good ball club. We're a good ball club, but I think we're perfectly capable of doing it. I think we could shut them down.
Well, that'd be a fun game to see. I'd look forward to that. So, well, like I said, with Katie, Coach mentioned you're going to Iowa, so are you going to Iowa then too, right?
Yes, we got to. We're
going to
be together.
I'm just kidding. Awesome. We're going to see a lot of each other. Thanks a lot for coming in, and I appreciate it. You bet. All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker MidAmerica. At Coldwell Banker, you're not one of many clients, you're our most important client. We listen to your needs to develop long-lasting relationships and provide the best services, professional support, and resources in the industry. We're constantly exploring new and innovative ways to elevate your experience and exceed your expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. Well, I want to thank my guests again for coming in tonight. We have Ankeny softball coach Dave Bingham, along with two of his seniors, Katie Kirschman and Emma McLean. I enjoyed the conversation with all three of those folks. And come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.